By the way, thank you for your, Chris mentioned, you know, our church's friendliness and openness, and Pastor Terry and his wife Diane, who were here last week, and he filled in for me in the summer as well, just said thank you for the opportunity to come, and he always appreciates coming and appreciates the warm friendliness of the church. And Terry is retired pastor. He was pastoring Trenton Baptist Church for quite a while, and then he transitioned. A younger guy came along. He trained him, and now that guy's taken over. And Terry is kind of like our area shepherd. So he kind of oversees the Eastern Ontario area and encourages us in our relationships with the Lord, as well as just as pastors in general. And so he's a neat guy to have around, and he loves to preach. And as you saw the last couple times he's been here, he gets going, doesn't he? So he's a neat guy. So let's pray as we open up the Word of God this morning. Father, we're looking forward to seeing what you have to say. We're going to talk about our days, like you have planned our days. And how do we live for you in light of the times in which you have given us? And so we want to focus on that this morning, and just appreciate, you know, in one of the songs that we sang that each day is a gift. We're going to talk about that this morning, and we're just going to be challenged to think about our life from a day's perspective, because surprisingly or not surprisingly, you know, Lord, that's just how you tell us to handle life. You know, just handle it one day at a time. And we thank you for that, and you've given us the resources to handle that. So as we look at the Word, we are going to be encouraged in that this morning and how to respond to the blessings that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we've been going through our theme this year, Understanding the Times, we've been focusing predominantly on how does God want us to live wisely in the circumstances, seasons, and culture that we find ourselves in. And, you know, I mean, we have been in very unprecedented times in the last year and a half, and we're still not out of it. We're still masking and washing hands and using Zoom occasionally. And so we're not quite back to normal, and we're still working our way through this. So, you know, how have we grown closer to God in this pandemic? Do we even think about that? How have we grown closer to God in the last 20 months? And see, whether we're in a pandemic, whether in a world war, whether we're in a depression, whether we're in a time of peace or safety and plenty, God's focus, God's purpose for us is always the same. How are you growing into Christ-likeness? How are you and I becoming more like Jesus each day? Are you more Spirit-filled now and being more Spirit-led now than we were 20 months ago? Before the pandemic started, are we more generous with our resources? Are we less fearful? Here's a question. Are you and I less fearful of our world and circumstances than we were 20 months ago? Because those are all signs we're growing into Christ-likeness, if that's what's happening. If Acts 17:26 is true for you and me, when Paul said, from one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands, God did this so that they, you and I, would seek him, and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. If that is all true, and it is, then that means God has marked out for you and I here in world history to be alive during this pandemic. And he wants us to find him, which most of us, hopefully all of us, have already found him, have a relationship with him. And since we have, what are we supposed to do? Live and move and have our being in him right now. God is not going to say to you and I, oh, by the way, when I review your life, I'm just going to ignore the pandemic because you're in a pandemic. He's not going to do that. Matter of fact, he actually might ask us specifically, how come you kind of put me on hold during the pandemic? How come that was kind of like when the pandemic happened, how come, you know, you kind of pushed me aside and didn't make our relationship a priority. And because God, if Acts 17:26 is true, then he purposely chose for you and I to be around during this time. And obviously allowed us the grace and the mercies to get through us. So if God planned for when you and I would be born and what circumstances life we would experience, then that means all life's experiences are God's plan for you and I to shape us into Jesus. Okay? So we're going to look at some overriding principles. We're not going to just be in one passage this morning. We're going to look at five main passages this morning. The first one we're going to look at is Psalm 90. So if you want to turn to Psalm 90, I'm going to read verses 10 through 17. The one psalm of Moses, interestingly enough. Psalm 90, verse 10, I'm going to begin there. And he talks about our days, okay? He talks about the length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have been seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. While we don't know how many days, right, we all have left on earth, the notion to count each day is God's way of saying each day is a gift. Thank God for it, right? Each day is a gift, so let's make sure we're thanking God for it. And as we too readily know, hopefully you know this, but, you know, you did nothing to deserve being created, right? None of us did anything to deserve being created. We're all created by the grace, the sheer grace of God, and given a life to enjoy. Even more so, he has opened our hearts to his existence and to his Son, Jesus Christ, and given us eternal life through faith in him. So, satisfy us in the morning, Lord, right? What a great prayer. Satisfy us in the morning, you know, with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. That would be a great prayer for us to begin all our days. You know, unending love, unfailing love is that Hebrew word, a hesed, God's covenant, never leave you, never forsake you, love, and his unconditional commitment to us. And so we should pray, Lord, may we find satisfaction alone today in you, since you are so committed to me, unconditionally, regardless if you and I remember to thank him for our existence today. And we can find satisfaction in him alone because he's wired us that way. He's wired us, strangely enough, to only find true satisfaction in him. And we also need to see his hand around us by thanking him for the many blessings in our life. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, in a passage, he's warning him about false prophets, but he says to them, he says to Timothy in verse chapter 4, 1 Timothy 4, 3, he says, these false prophets forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. So everything that's good and right is of God. Everything that's good and right is of God, and we are to thank God for those things. And there are many things that we take for granted each day because we don't have to struggle for them. Right? We don't have to struggle for food. We don't have to struggle for fresh drinking water. We don't have to struggle or think about a whole lot about where we live, or that the fact that we have pretty good health and we have a good marriage and we have children and grandchildren and so many things. And yet, how many people don't have those things in this world? And those are the basic things that we have we take for granted each and every day. And yet we complain about this, right? We complain about wearing a mask. We complain if we're in a long lineup at a store. We complain if Amazon is going to be 3 weeks late for something we could have had quickly, right? Someone's laughing because they know it's so true. We all do it, right? And yet those are the things that we just take these things for granted. We have so many things to be thankful for. God's people of all people should be the most thankful people in the world. And so each day should be appreciated as a gift from God for also another reason. So Jeremiah, we're going to go to Lamentations 3. So the prophet Jeremiah, he writes this very sorrowful, sad grief, record of his grief over the destruction of Jerusalem by the Babylonians in 586 BC. It's five chapters. It's a tough read, right? It's five chapters of sorrow and grief, except in the middle. And it's literally like it's actually very, very specific. 22 verses, 22 verses, 66 verses, 22 verses, 22 verses. It's very carefully organized and written. And in the middle 22-verse section of the entire song is the hymn of praise. And he says in Lamentations 3, verse 19, in the middle of this sorrow, he looks up. And he says, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions or his mercies never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly or patiently for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a person to bear the yoke while they are young. And so Jeremiah reminds us, no matter how difficult life can be, okay, at times that we need to remember, each day brings new grace and mercy. Therefore, we need to trust God for each day. Jeremiah acknowledges he's depressed. He acknowledges his depression, his sorrow over the circumstances that he was experiencing in life. And yet, he reminds himself of God's commitment to him, God's commitment to his people. And this is why he has hope. And what's his hope? Well, he's a child of God. And he knows God has not abandoned his people because he and many others had survived. Not everyone was destroyed. You know, a number of people survived, obviously. He says his compassions never fail. See, Jeremiah doesn't look at what happened, the bad things that happened. He does, but he focuses on the fact that God also spared a number of his people because God has promises that he has still yet to fulfill for his people. And, you know, we measure our life in years, you know, like, Kathy, how old are you today, right? Or whoever's birthday it is today. But the fact is that God measures our life by days. And that means he wants us to measure our life by our days. And he says, just live one day at a time. Focus on that. And see the grace and mercy that he has extended to us today. So what it did for Jeremiah at a terrible time in his life was it renewed his hope. It renewed his hope, and so he continued to trust God for his future. When was his future? Tomorrow. Okay, I'll trust God for tomorrow because God's going to give me grace and mercies for tomorrow. He's not going to give me Wednesday's grace and mercies for Monday. He's going to give me enough grace and mercy for Monday on Monday. And I can wait patiently for the Lord, even though I'm going to have to wait a lot of Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays before I actually see significant change, because it would be 586 to 536. It would be 50 years. It would be 50 years before the Israelites were allowed to come back. So Jeremiah never lived long enough to see that. As many people don't live long enough to see situations restored and reversed and so on, but doesn't mean God isn't going to do it. So if you and I are in a tough spot right now where, you know, we can't see how things are going to improve, wait patiently on the God, right? Wait patiently on the Lord. He gave you his grace and mercy for today, so just trust him for that today. Just trust him for today. Thank him for all that he's done in your life and wait patiently for when he's going to turn your situation around. And Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 6, 33 and 34. After he told the 12 disciples, he says, don't be anxious about stuff, right? Don't be anxious about, you know, the things of life. Instead, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things that we worry about will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, right? For tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. Each day, for tomorrow will worry about itself, each day has enough trouble of its own. And so Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow, but instead focus on the purposes of God, focus on the kingdom of God. Now, the literal kingdom of God is Jesus' return when he's going to establish his rule on earth, and we're still waiting for that. But his kingdom also exists now in the spiritual sense of all those who've responded to the message of the gospel are now his subjects, and we honor him as our king and submit to him as king and model that to a lost world, hoping that they too will want to submit their own life to Jesus Christ one day so that they can experience the fullness of his kingdom as well. So Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow because God hasn't given us the resources to worry about tomorrow yet. But God has extends his grace and mercy to us, and as we live that out in life, he wants us to show that to the people we work with, to our family, our friends who don't know Christ as their Savior. And that's not easy, right? It's not easy to keep our focus on the purposes of God when life is not going the way we'd like it to. But here's another reminder. Ephesians 5. Let's go there. Let's go to Ephesians 5. The Apostle Paul tells us more about each day. Ephesians 5. Right? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Verse 15, Paul says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So Paul says, each day has evil and good, right? Keep looking up. Each day has evil and good. Keep looking up. And he says, if we are not wise to understand this, then obviously we're going to be foolish when we don't focus on God's will and fail to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So here's a question. How do you know that's happened or not? All right? How do you know if I've been filled with the Holy Spirit? How do you know if I've been wise? Well, actually, verses 19 to 21 answer that question. And we can answer that question with a question. We can say, well, did we encourage anyone with the Word of God? Songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. Did we encourage anyone today with the Word of God? Were we sensitive to giving thanks? Notice giving thanks is in here again. Were we sensitive to giving thanks to God for things, situations, people in our life today? Did we do anything in the name and the power of Jesus? Right? Did we humble ourselves and submit to serve someone today? Verses 19 to 21 tell us what a good, Spirit-filled, Spirit-led day is like. Now, as I ask those questions, you're thinking, well, you know, maybe I didn't do a whole lot of those things yesterday, or maybe I didn't do any of those things yesterday, but I mean, it wasn't evil. I wasn't doing evil. Well, what is evil? Evil is simply the absence of God. That's what evil is. Evil is not something horrific. Evil is simply living without God, because that's the definition of evil, not having God. So if I've lived my day without any thought to God, then and it wasn't for God's glory, it was for my own, that was evil, because that's exactly what Satan wants. Now you follow? Right? So if my life is good, but I don't have God in it, it's evil, because that's exactly what Satan has deceived the world to be like. And he says, or Paul says about that, about Satan in 2 Corinthians 11:14, that he disguises himself as what? An angel of light, right? So he disguises himself as things that are acceptable and good that just don't have God in it. That's what evil is. So by making us think we're doing good, even when we're just doing our own thing without involving God, of course, then that's actually evil. But while focusing on God and the things he wants us to do, that should come naturally to us, unless we discipline ourselves to do that, right, it's not going to happen. Our sinful nature is going to take over. Just, you know, because God's not in it. But here's another good passage, just to, the next two books over, Colossians 3, verses 1 to 4. Paul says here, he says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." If you and I know Christ as our Savior, which we do, then our future is guaranteed, right? We have been raised with Christ. We died to self. Our life is secure in Jesus. So, he says, keep looking up to the Lord for direction, for hope, for depending on his working in our life to help us be more mature and be used for his purposes. You know, have we looked up to God in prayer today? Have we looked up and asked Jesus to help us be more like him and live more for him? Isn't it interesting that we spend a lot of our time looking down? We do, don't we? We spend a lot of our time looking down at a screen of some kind. Like, let's just physically, even, you know, look up if it helps us to actually look up and stay focused on the Lord. You know, even kind of do a mental check if you think about it. Like, just sort of mentally think, how often do you look? Well, I'm looking down again, right? How often do we do that during the day? And it's just a good, you know, analogy of what we should be doing. Not that we can't look down and read something good. I'm not saying that, right? But it's just kind of a mental thing that we should take note of. But each day has good and evil in it. And the question is, how are we going to use it for God's purposes? And that leads us to realize that if every day has evil in it, then every day you and I are tempted, right? Every day you and I are tempted to sin. So what's the solution to that? Well, Hebrews 3 says, if you want to help people not sin, encourage them. Encourage them. That's interesting. Hebrews 3, all right, so not too far from Colossians. We're exercising your fingers today. Hebrews 3, verses 12 to 15. So Paul, the author of Hebrews, has been quoted. He's talking mostly to Jewish believers who are struggling because of persecution. Hang in there, he's saying. Verse 12, "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." Now he's talking to believers here. "But encourage one another each day," or daily, "as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end, and the confidence we had at first. As has just been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion." So if every day has opportunity for good and evil, that means every day you and I are tempted to possibly sin. Hopefully that's not earth-shattering to you. Right? Every day we're tempted to sin, but I wonder how often we actually confess our sin. Like, do we actually confess sin every day? Are there days we'd go by that we don't confess the fact that we sin? So we need to keep a short account with our sin, with God. But interesting, what's going to help us in our battle for temptation? And the author of Hebrews tells us, he's saying that God's people who are being tempted every day and are tempted not to live for God, the thing that's going to help us the most is encouragement from one another. We need fellow believers who encourage us to live for God, to keep us focused on looking up, as we just talked about, right? Encourage one another daily. Well, what does that imply? I have to stay connected with believers daily, don't we? We remain connected, have to stay connected with each other somehow. That means if the bulk of your day, because of work and responsibilities, doesn't involve Christians, and that's quite possible, you know, because I used to work in a couple places where I was the only believer, and, you know, you go home and you do your thing, but unless you had some kind of a, you know, connection with believers, you know, you needed their encouragement to helping you in your walk with God. And so, you know, if that's the case, we have to make the effort to stay connected with believers. You know, if God brings someone to your mind, or better, you know, pray, Lord, help me to stay connected with someone today. Who, you know, do you want me to connect with today? And inevitably, I can guarantee you, the Spirit of God will bring someone's name to you, right? And so when that happens, you ignore it, right? We do sometimes, right? But instead of ignoring it, say, okay, you know, if I have a moment right now, or if I know I'm going to have a, you know, in an hour or so, like text them, email them, call them, whatever. Just say, hey, how's it going? God brought your name to my mind. Everything okay? You know, I mean, everything could be fine. That's fine. But just the fact that if you and I get a random call, text from somebody, email from somebody just saying, hey, how's it going? Anything I can pray for you? Anything encouraged with you? I was thinking about you at work today, just praying that you'd be God's witness, you know, like that would encourage you, right? Well, if that encouraged you, do you think it would encourage someone else if you did it to them? Obviously. And so, you know, and how do we know when we're doing that someone wasn't in the middle of thinking of things that they shouldn't have, shouldn't be, or just struggling with doubt or sin in their life, and that reminder, that connection to another believer just kind of said, hey, right, I need to stay focused. I need to maintain my walk with God. Because all of us want to finish well, do we not? We want to finish life well. And so one more passage, 2 Timothy 4. Just a few pages back from Hebrews. 2 Timothy 4 is Paul's swan song. It's his last letter. And he writes to, he's alone. Luke is the only one with him, he says. And he says at the end, toward the end of 2 Timothy 4, in verse 6 and 7, he says, I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all us who have longed for his appearing. How do we finish the end of life well? And for some of us, you're thinking, like, that's so far away, you know? And for some of us, it's like, I'd like it to be farther away, right? It's actually quite simple. Finish today well. Finish each day well, and you'll finish life well. Since only God knows how many days that you and I have, and he tells us to count them, and when he says count them, he's not saying, like, X them off in the calendar, be really depressing. He's saying make them count, right? Make them count for his glory, right? He doesn't want us to worry about tomorrow because he's only given us, again, today's mercies and grace to handle today. See, all he expects from you and I today is what? Finish today well. Finish today well. We'll worry about tomorrow tomorrow. Does that just kind of take a load off your shoulders? That's all you have to do is just live for today, one day at a time, for the glory of God. Again, did we notice and thank him for the many blessings in our life and the way he revealed his presence and power to us today? You say, well, I just woke up at 10:25 and just got here, so I haven't had a little time to think about that, right? But Tim's smiling. What time did you wake up, Tim? But you know what I mean? Like, I haven't thought about these things a whole lot today, even though I was going to church, right? Right? Those are the things that God wants us to think about each day. What have we trusted Him for today, based on the resources of grace and mercy that He's provided? What prayer are you still praying for that you're still waiting on an answer for? Keep praying for that today, okay? Will we glorify God today? Who did we encourage today? We've got half the day left, right? Who are you going to encourage yet today? You say, that's a lot of stuff to think about. But you know what? It really isn't. You know, keep our eyes upward and forward and less downward and inward. Fight the good fight, right? Matter of fact, Paul had mentioned this once before to Timothy. If you go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6, toward the end of chapter 6, he says to him in verse 11, he says, "But you, man of God, flee from all this temptations and sin, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith." There it is again, 1 Timothy 6:12. "Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession. I charge you," Paul says, "to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in His own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to Him be honor and might forever." Each day you and I are tempted in different ways to live a self-focused life instead of a God-focused life. Each day we have to choose who we're going to serve. It is a fight, right? It's a battle between good and evil, but we know good wins. We know evil gets defeated. We already know the end of the story. And we're still waiting for the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, by the way, the Word of God says could happen any day, right? Day by day. That's how we're supposed to live. Let's pray. Father, I pray for anyone here today who is struggling with something that's long-term, something that they're worried about weeks, days, maybe it's just hours, Lord, because sometimes we have to live hour by hour. But I just pray for them. I just pray that they've been encouraged through the Word of God. I pray that someone would also encourage them verbally, even online or whatever, text, email. But just that we would be sensitive to Your presence in our life every day, thankful for the ways in which You've provided for us today and met our spiritual resources today to handle the things that happen to us today. And we know from Acts 17 and many other places that nothing that happens to us is outside of Your sovereign responsibilities, Your sovereign hold over us. So we know we can handle it in Your power and strength. But Lord, just help each of us, Lord, just to live each day at a time, thankful, mindful of You and each other, so that we can encourage each other to finish well today, so that one day when our days are done, people will have said, they finished well. They finished for the glory of God. But Lord, we don't have to think about that today. We only have to think about finishing today well. And Lord, thank You that that's all You expect from us today. And we thank You for being here and the opportunity we have to encourage others. In Jesus' name, amen.